Church, but in my whole life, you can use me.
Yes, Lord.
Use me wherever I go. Use me with everybody I know. I give myself to you. I give myself away. Oh, Jesus, it's all about you, Lord. I give myself so. So faithful. A lot of times we say God's worthy of the praise. We say he's worthy of our giving. We say he's worthy of our worship. But I think God is so worthy that he's worthy of us. I think he's so worthy, he deserves all of us. It's all of our minds, our attention, our affection. Sometimes even in the body of Christ, we minimize how big God is and how near to us God is by making God this far away legend of literature. But I just believe that God is more than a legend in literature. I believe he can be the king of our hearts. I believe he can reside in our souls. And I think anybody else like me just think he's worthy of me. Just all of me. I feel like John Legend, all of me loves all of you. Amen. The rest of that doesn't apply, but it's close enough. Amen. It's close enough. Come on, let's clap our hands and give God praise for being in worship. I want y'all to give it up for CVS behind me. Y'all don't even know what that is. We got CVS. Y'all said, what is CVS? These are the coronavirus singers. Come on, somebody. CVS is in the building, and I'm excited about what God is doing. They sound good to me. They sound good to me. When we learned that we had to postpone our conference and our concert this weekend, I was devastated. The work that it took us to plan for 5 months, the governor shut down in 5 minutes. But it taught us something, and I shared it on Facebook Live. It taught us that I got this from Reverend Truett, we gotta hold life in high regard with an open hand. Because God knows the plans that he has for us. So we trust God's plan. And I feel like the old saints that just say, all is well, all is well. We're praying for Reverend Turner. And so when Reverend Truett and I decided we would preach today until our out-of-town guests who were coming, don't get on those planes, stay where you are, and we'll reschedule. When I'm preaching, I normally just spend some time in prayer and say, Lord, what would you have me to preach? Because people need a specific word for a specific time. Because the truth is, the whole Bible is good. You can get up and open that Bible and say the right stuff about anything, and it'd be a blessing and people enjoy. But is it the kind of word that people need right now? And so I asked Reverend Truett, I said, what are we preaching this week? She did 8 o'clock service, and she said, let's just both pray and see what the Lord says. And she sent me a text message maybe 48 hours ago. She said, the Lord told me Psalm 46, and I didn't even look at it, but I texted her back. I said, that'll work. And I tell you why. Not out of laziness, but because I trust the God in this woman of God. And I believe God is sending one word to the house. God is sending one word. I want us to greet our streamers who are viewing. It's about 100 or so people viewing. Y'all, let's clap for all of our streamers. Hey, 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 to all of our streamers. Y'all can talk to each other in the comments. Share this feed. Let's get the word out that St. John is still going strong. Reverend Truett said it. We don't know what it'll look like as far as our church calendar. Y'all just stay tuned. And you get an email or a text message or a phone tree or a smoke signal or something, and we'll let you know what's going on. Let's stand. Turn with us now to the 46th Psalm. Psalm 46. Y'all give me about 6 minutes to preach, and we all going home to get some chicken. I'm going to stop at Popeye's and give me a two-piece dark. And I'm quarantining myself, Abby. Amen. Netflix and chill, all right? Y'all inbox me on Facebook. Tell me what to watch on Netflix this week, because I'm trying not to come out the house. I'm excited about this word. We're going to do the first through the fourth verses. Psalm 46, verse number 1, says that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Let's pray. God in heaven, so much is going on, but we've gathered to ask the question, is there a word from the Lord? Father, our simple prayer request is that you would speak, Lord. These people already know me, and I didn't come to impress them. They didn't come to see us. They came to hear from you. Speak to us now. Let your anointing fill the house. And we love and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats. I'm going to try to tell you not to touch your neighbor. If I do, don't do it. Okay? I just want to preach from the subject today, don't panic. Don't panic. Look at somebody. Don't look at them too hard. Look at them and tell them, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic. This 46th Psalm is a song of hope that is written to be sang in uncertain times. There were times when things happened that are out of our control. Life has a way of reminding us that even with all of the 21st century technology and all of the modern scientific advances and even our instant accessibility to information, life and the things around us constantly remind us that we still need God. What a reminder that even as far as we've come as a global society, we have not graduated from needing God. As far as we've come nationally with the national infrastructure and intelligence in our nation, hear me please, we still need God. As far as we've come, even locally with systems and structures, we still need God. Even as far as we've come personally with our careers and our connections, we still need God. My dearly departed maternal grandmother was well known for singing a song that said, somewhere down the line, you're going to need the Lord. The human mind has a way of, the psyche of the human mind has a way of building a false sense of security around the people, places, and things that cannot ultimately provide real security. We feel safe because of our financial savings. We feel safe because of our academic pedigrees. We feel safe because of the zip codes that we live in. We feel safe because of our personal and social connections. But times like these, like the days we're living in, remind us that, one, we're all human. It reminds us that we are not untouchable. It reminds us that we all need a safety that is greater than the sense of safety that we have created for ourselves. A few weeks ago, things were cool, calm, and collected, and now in our society, in our world, there is panic and seeming chaos. People are emptying the shelves of grocery stores, fighting over toilet tissue like it's Armageddon, and Psalm 46 is designed to provide a song for the saints in times of chaos. The first thing we discover that the psalmist discloses to us is something that I call complete coverage. Let the church say complete coverage. Verse number one, there is a declaration. The psalmist says that God is our refuge and strength. Goes on to say that God is an ever-present help in trouble. First thing, the psalmist refers to God as is our refuge. Refuge is literally designed in the time of this text. If you can imagine that castles and the most secure places were built on high rocks with iron gates and with fields that could be seen from a distance, with watchmen who would try to secure the location to ensure its safety. And even though a place was built on high rocks, rocks can be climbed. Even though many refuges of this time were built with iron gates around them, iron can be melted. Even though there were watchmen on the towers of the refuges, watchmen can be injured and harmed. But the writer says, not that we have some physical manifestation of a sense of refuge and safety. He did not say that God gives our refuge. The writer says that God is our refuge. What does that mean? That means that God is an impenetrable realm of safety for the people of God. That means you don't have to lose your mind panicking about what's going on in society. You don't have to become a germaphobe. You don't have to be afraid to leave your house, because the Bible says that God is our refuge. I hear the psalmist saying, tell me who can stand before us when we call that great name, Jesus, precious Jesus. Look at somebody. Tell them we got the victory. Tell them I'm not afraid. I'm not panicking. I'm not losing my mind. I'm not fighting you for a role of Sherman, but God is our refuge. He says God is our refuge. The next thing he refers to God as is our strength. It literally means that God is keeping us strong. I'm sure you can look at me and tell that I'm working out regularly. And what's interesting is when I'm lifting weights, I've discovered that the more I lift, Adrian, the more I can lift. The more I lift, the stronger I get. The more weights I add to the barbell, while it's a struggle for me initially, if I keep pushing the weight, ultimately, I can handle what I was initially struggling with. But if we're honest, while weightlifting is challenging, the psalmist doesn't even say that God would give us strength. Because we would need to lift the weight of life on our own if God only gave us strength. But the writer says God is our strength. So if I'm lifting on my own strength, there's only so much that I can lift. I got to lift incrementally. I got to go from 245-pound barbells, and then I got to add 5 pounds and 10 pounds and try to work my way up to another 45 pounds. But when that's my own strength. But when God is our strength, do you know what that means? It means that even if you don't have, if you're not strong enough to make it on your own, you can literally continue in life because God is the strength that you don't have. That's why in the New Testament it says that in my weakness that God's strength is made perfect. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have all the comfort. I don't have to have all the connections. I don't have to have all the resources because God is my strength. And if we be honest, that's the only reason many of us or any of us are in this room today. That's the only reason you survived what you went through. That's the only reason you survived what you've gone through. It is because God has been your strength. If you were dependent on your own experience and your own expertise, loose here, coronavirus, I'm not coughing through this sermon. If you were depending on what you were going through, if you were dependent on your own strength to get through life, you wouldn't have made it this far. But the strength of God, I wish I had a witness, has gotten you this far. Would you look at somebody and tell him, I had his strength. He's been my strength. When I went through the divorce, he's been my strength. When my loved one died on me, he's been my strength. When I lost my job, he's been my strength. The writer says, he's our refuge. It means he keeps us safe. Says he's our strength. That means he keeps us strong. But notice what he says. He says in the latter part of verse 1 that God is an ever-present help in trouble. He's been our refuge. He keeps us safe. He's been our strength. He keeps us strong. But he says he's been our help. That means he keeps us stable. Notice the kind of help that he gives. This is not the kind of help that you need to fill out an application for and wait in line. This is not soup kitchen kind of help where it's going to meet your need momentarily. But he says that God is an ever-present help. That's the kind of insurance that covers everything. In Florida, you can't get flood insurance because it's going to flood in Florida. There are particular kinds of insurances that if you have a pre-existing condition, you can't get this health insurance because it's not able to fully cover you. But the psalmist is showing us that God has a plan of complete coverage, that everything in your life is covered by the help of God. Hear me, I feel like preaching now. That the family that you're building is covered by the help of God, that your career is covered by the help of God, that your money is covered by the help of God, that your finances and that your career and that your family is all covered by the help of God. How do we know? He says God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. First thing we discover from the psalmist is that there is complete coverage. But the second thing we note in verses 2 and 3 is that there is calm in chaos. We first find complete coverage, but then he shows us where we can be calm in chaos. Verse number 2 and 3. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and mountains quake with their surging. Verse number 2 and 3 is, notice how the psalmist is illustrating violent commotion. He says the earth gives way, like the earth is opening and buckling and no longer handling the pressure of our weight, that the mountains that are great and grandiose are now falling into the sea, that the waters are roaring and foaming, that the mountains are quaking with their surging. The writer is illustrating violent commotion. But he begins, before he even details what the commotion is, by saying, I will not fear. In other words, the psalmist says, even when bad things happen, I still trust God. So often our trust or faith or confidence in God is predicated on our preferences being met by the Lord. But the psalmist says, even when the earth gives way, even when the stuff I'm standing on cannot hold me, even when we're living in days where teachers are asked to take 2 and 3 weeks off work with no pay, even when we're living in a time when families are having to make arrangements for meals and care for children that they cannot afford and don't know where the provision is coming from, even when we're living in times when the stock market is plummeting and the dangers of our time are being feared by our society, the writer says, I will not fear. He's showing us that even when chaos is going on around you, you can have calmness within you. I don't care what CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and your local news networks are telling you, the writer is showing us that yes, the chaos is real, but so is our faith. We believe what the Bible says. The Bible does record that faith without works is dead. So no, it doesn't mean hug everybody. It doesn't mean shake everybody's hand. But it does mean don't live in fear. If things don't add up the way we plan, we can say like the writer, I trust God regardless. When we suffer catastrophic losses, I trust God regardless. Even in the times when our resources don't add up to what we need, you got to trust God regardless. The writer A.W. Tozer says this phrase, this quote that I think is so pertinent to the days we're living in. He says, anything that God has ever done, he can do now. Anything that God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. And anything that God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. So instead of us stressing and complaining and whining and worrying, the psalmist has given us the statement that we need to govern our lives and our realities in these coming days and weeks of uncertainty. And that statement is that I will not fear. Come on, open your mouth. Say that I will not fear. I will be cautious, but I will not fear. I will be careful, but I will not fear. I will take care of myself. I will not fear. I will wash my hands. I will not fear. I will sanitize my environment. I will not fear. I will maintain social distance, but I will not fear. He shows us in verse number 1 that there is complete coverage because God is an ever-present help. He's our refuge and our strength. In verse number 2 and 3, he shows us that there is calm in chaos because he says, I will not fear even though there is violent commotion all around him. But the last thing we discover is in verse number 4, we find that there is constant comfort. After all the chaos that he refers to, the earth gives way, the mountains fall into the sea, the waters roar and foam, the mountains quake with their surging. In verse number 4, he says that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. He's talking about the place or the temple where the people of God are. He's giving the people of God the antidote for maintaining their composure in times of chaos. But I want to tell you how he gives it to us. I love this. This is the part I was in my bedroom yesterday shouting down. Watch this. It says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's not that the problems were not real. Remember, he acknowledged that the problems were real. The earth was giving way. The mountains were falling into the sea. The waters were roaring and foaming. The mountains were quaking with their surging. But he says that even though the problems are real, this is not a problem for God. So he refers to God as a river. Says there is a river. There is a river. He refers, since the mountains are acting up, since society is tripping, since the waters of the rivers are raging, he also refers to God as a river. But notice this. He doesn't say that the river of God makes us glad. He says, this is crazy. He says that the streams from the river make us glad. Do you know what that means? That the mountains are falling into the sea, that the waters are roaring, and that the power of God is so strong, you don't even need all of God to make you okay in a chaotic time. All you need is a stream. You may not have a flood of finances from God coming to your life, but all you need is a stream. You may not have a flood or a river of sanity, but he said the streams make glad the city of God. I need a stream of joy, stream of peace, a stream of hope. He says that God is so great and so strong, and his power is so pervasive, that while mountains are quaking and falling into the sea, while rivers are roaring, while society is going insane, he says, all I need is a stream to keep me sane. I wish I had a church. So he says, God has a constant way of comforting us by allowing us to experience his strength. Because the truth is, we could not handle the fullness of God. God is so holy. He is so perfect. He is so holy until our human reality cannot handle it. So God does this for us. He gives us a measure of him that we can handle and that will sustain us. I say he gives us a measure of himself, one that we can handle, but two, that is great enough to sustain us. So the old church would ask the question, have you any rivers that seem uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? He says God specializes in things that seem impossible. God can do what no other power can do. And that's the reason we can praise God today, not because things are well, not because we have the answers, not because we're even comfortable, but we can praise God because the streams of God are keeping us nourished, because the streams of God are keeping us satisfied. The streams of God are enough for us to have everything we need. And that's the reason we can praise God, because even the psalmist asked the question. He said that some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord. And that's an invitation for us as we look around to be sure that all is well, that don't forget to call on the name of the Lord, because some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, some trust in Lysol and some trust in CNN, some trust in the president and some trust in the Senate, but we will remember the name of the Lord, because Proverbs says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower where the righteous run in and they are safe. And I'm so glad today that my safety is not because of sanitizing, that my safety is not because of cleaning, but I am safe because God is our refuge and strength. Is there a witness in this room who can praise my God that I will not fear, because God is, he's my refuge refuge. I'm so glad today that the name of the Lord has never failed. And I heard the writer say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. Do you know what that means? It means God has never failed God's people. God has never let his people down. God has never failed on the job. And I'm glad that the word of God is always true. We got a reason to keep on going. We got a reason to keep praising God. I will not fear. I came to tell somebody, don't panic. I don't care what they say. Don't panic. I don't care what it looks like. Don't panic, because weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And I'm so glad. Trouble don't last. Don't last always. Look at somebody and say, oh, neighbor, trouble don't last. Don't last always. Coronavirus won't last. Won't last always. Your tears won't last. Won't last always. And I'm so glad today that it's not over until God says it's over. No matter what it looks like, it's not over until God says it's over. And if you're glad about it, clap your hands in here and praise God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, here below. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise him, ye heavenly host. Praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Help me say yeah. Say yes. Say yes.
Woo! Bye-bye.